What's up, Disrupt Nation? So the episode that you're about to hear is a little different than some of the other ones that are on the show. In this episode, which is a part of the Latino Wealth Movement podcast, which is part of the New Theory Sound Network, I am talking with Darwin Roman. He is the founder of the Latino Wealth Movement, based out of New Jersey. And he actually interviews me to discuss some of the things we're doing at Puerto Rico, some of the things we're doing at Disrupt. And it's a really, really great conversation. As I mentioned, it's also published on the Latino Wealth Movement podcast, which is a part of New Theory. And we are also publishing it here so that our listeners can get a little taste about what we're up to. But it's a great conversation, a lot of jokes, a lot of laughs, and I hope you guys enjoy.
Hey everyone, Darwin Roman here with the Latino Wealth Movement. If you haven't heard this podcast before, we're on the New Theory Sound platform, and you can follow us at New Theory on Instagram. Now, my guest right here, I'm really excited to have Anthony Delgado. I've had the pleasure of talking to this gentleman once before live, and to talk about the Latino Wealth Movement one more time, for those who haven't heard it before, it's not just about finances. We do talk about that, but it is wealth with regards to your health, your mental health, your relationships, what's going on in your heart, all the areas that we want to make sure that you're also wealthy in, because if you have one without the other, you're not really wealthy. So Anthony Delgado here from Disrupt Marketing, is that correct?
Yeah.
Disrupt Marketing. I'm excited to have you here, Anthony. Thanks so much for being on the show. Man, I have a lot to go over, so let's get right into it. Anthony, tell us real quick about yourself and what you're currently doing, but first of all, also a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, a little bit about your background.
For sure. So my name is Anthony Delgado. I've been a software developer and serial entrepreneur for the last 10 years. I grew up in Union City, New Jersey. So we were just speaking about that, about like the Cuban and Latino immigrant population in Union City. I mean, I think they used to joke and say that there were more Puerto Ricans in Union City than there were in Puerto Rico. I don't know if that stat was accurate, but it definitely felt accurate. But yeah, so I grew up right here in Hudson County, New Jersey. And, you know, I had my first computer in the second grade. I was one of the first kids that I knew with the internet. Mm. And from a really early age, I was a quote unquote hacker, right? So like in middle school, I was like hacking into people's computers, and I never really did anything nefarious, but I was always testing the limits, testing the boundaries. I had a girl ask me recently, she was like, "Oh, what are you? You're like some sort of hacker." And I was like, "Yeah, I hack life," right? So I always looked at like ways that you can break the rules, bend limitations, right? So mm-hmm. whether it was with computers or in life, I was always looking for a way to go beyond what the limitations that people set for mm-hmm. us were.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think drove you to that point where you were, I mean, computers, right? At a young age, something that was most likely not common, right?
Yeah.
How did you end up there?
So I was blessed. I mean, my mother was a computer programmer.
Okay.
And so when I was in the second grade, I got my first hand-me-down computer. Okay. So she always had a computer. And then in the second grade, she got a new computer. I got the old one. And also at that time, Al Gore and Bill Clinton were on this big kick about computers and the mm-hmm. internet. Okay. Bill Clinton actually came to my school multiple times.
All right.
And they actually did a program in the middle school where they gave everyone a computer.
Ah.
Now, I didn't qualify because I already had three computers in the house at that time, but they gave everyone computers at that time, and we had computers in the classroom, obviously. And yeah, man, I was always a tinkerer. You know, my mother was working full time. So, you know, I would get home and I would be by myself mm-hmm. a lot of the time. Sometimes mm-hmm. I would have a babysitter. A lot of times I didn't.
Right.
I was right across the street from the school, so I could walk home, and it wasn't really a big deal the way it is now.
So you survived.
So
you're alive.
I survived.
You're able to walk home after school. Yeah. You actually had a key.
Maybe
you call your mom, "Hey, mom, I'm home." Right? Or something like that.
There's no phone.
There was no phone. Forget it. Oh my gosh. So there's no cell phone. She just had a hope that you were just home by the time she got home.
That, yeah, basically. So we got into a lot of trouble, but like you said, we survived, right?
Yeah.
And I was always tinkering. I was always playing with circuits, and mm. I won the science fair 3 times when mm. I was in grade school. So I was always just, you know, pushing the limits of the internet, using like search engines like Excite,
wow.
Building web pages on like geosites and all that stuff. But I never saw myself as like some coder or some programmer. I was just using the internet. Mm-hmm. For me, it was just a form of entertainment and a form of communication. And it was just this, you know, I grew up with it. I kind of took it for granted, you know?
Right. So now fast forward as an adult, you move on to the marketing space, the digital marketing space, and disrupt. Where does disrupt come from?
So it's so funny because, you know, we're talking about my childhood. When I said the name of this new venture that I was starting, my mother in particular was like, yeah, you were very disruptive in class. So I actually got kicked out of tons of different schools in grad school, in grammar school. I think I went to, I didn't go to 12 schools by 12th grade, but I think I had changed schools 12 times. Like almost every year or every other year, I was like switching schools. I went into the gifted and talented school. I got kicked out of it. I went to a private school, would get kicked out of it, go back to public school. I was bouncing back and forth. We moved. Our apartment got burglarized. My mom didn't like the neighborhood anymore. So we moved to the suburbs. We moved to Secaucus. So that was another change in the school system. And so I bounced around a lot. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I turned 18, I started selling things online. Okay. So by the time I was 18, 19, I'd already made over $100,000 online.
Wow.
And I looked at traditional education and I looked at the opportunities that were afforded to us and the path that you were supposed to take.
Right.
And again, this is in the early 2000s. Like, mm-hmm. The internet was barely even a thing.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. I'm not going to go... I don't see how it makes sense to make $30,000 a year after being $200,000 in debt. So I dropped out of college. I was in like the EOF program where we got like financial aid from the state. And so they gave us really big checks mm-hmm. on our summer break. So I remember I took the very first check that they gave us and I went to the wholesale district in New York City and I started buying merchandise and flipping it, putting it online. Yeah. I was like, this doesn't make sense. I can make $30,000 in a month. Why am I going to go and work for $30,000 a year? So from a very young age, I was on eBay. I was on Amazon. I was flipping stuff. I'm actually working on a book right now where I talk about the digital. It's called The Digital Nomad Blueprint. And I talk about like the digital economy and the difference between like a nomad used to be reliant on the city they were in. Right? Where they laid their hat was their home.
Right.
With the digital nomads, you're leveraging the entire economy of the entire world. So I used to sell mixtapes when I was 16 years old. Again, I was printing out a mixtape. It cost me 10 cents. Mm-hmm. That 10 cents turns into $5. It's a high profit margin.
Right.
But I was selling them in the bodegas. I was selling them in school, right? Making 50 bucks a week, 100 bucks a week. I started putting them online. I was making $3,000 a week.
Selling the mixtapes.
Wow.
Okay.
On Amazon and eBay.
Right.
And why was that? It was because I wasn't only selling them in Union City. I wasn't only selling them in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I was selling them globally. I had people in France buying these mixtapes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just use that as an example of the power of the digital economy. We're no longer tied to the geographical location, the economy of the geographical location where we're in, right? Right now, I travel back and forth to Puerto Rico. I moved to Puerto Rico recently. We're going to talk about that later.
Yes.
But I'm afforded that luxury of traveling where I want because a lot of my income comes from online.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you brought up about Puerto Rico. I want to talk about that because the digital economy has obviously shifted things so much. And unfortunately, the situation in Puerto Rico has become what it is, and not to anybody's fault. But the circumstances put it in a situation where now there is a new economy of anything coming out of Puerto Rico. Can we say that? And
yeah, for sure.
How's that evolving? Because I know you're involved with it. And how's that evolving now?
Definitely. So my company, Disrupt, was started out of the aftermath of Puerto Rico. And... you know, you mentioned before, like, Disrupt Marketing. We have, like, Disrupt Marketing, Disrupt Podcast, Disrupt Events, Disrupt Digital, X, Y, and Z. And there's a lot of different ventures that we're doing under the Disrupt name. But it all started out of the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. So when Hurricane Maria struck the island of Puerto Rico, I came across a problem that was way bigger than myself, right? Me and a buddy of mine, we sent a pallet of water over. And then we like pat ourselves in the back. Okay, cool, like mission accomplished. And then a couple of days later, a couple of weeks later, we keep watching the news. The power's not coming back on.
Mm.
you know, even down here in New York, we have power outages once in a blue.
Right.
Maybe they last a day, right? If they last more than 2 or 3 days, that's a big deal.
Right. It's a national disaster.
It's months later, and they still hadn't turned the power back on in Puerto Rico. And come to find out, even the water and the supplies that we sent wasn't getting distributed. Mm. This stuff was getting held up at the ports.
Right.
FEMA was not releasing it. They didn't have an infrastructure to release it. So rather than just give it to people, they were like not giving it to anyone. Mm. Stuff was going bad. It was all these things that were happening. And I met a friend who lived in Puerto Rico for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's a New Yorican, moved to Puerto Rico for a simpler life. And then when the hurricane happened, his for-profit business transformed it into a nonprofit. So we meet in a diner in Manhattan, and we start talking about all these different problems. And the first thing he says is, there's no power. I'm like, dude, solar power. Like, let's go. I go on my phone, and I DM Elon Musk company, Solar City. And I'm like, hey, we're trying to get power in Puerto Rico. What can we do? And then the next problem that he talked about was the economy.
Mm-hmm.
The second biggest driver of the economy in Puerto Rico is the service industry.
Okay.
And not to talk down on anyone's profession, but all the Puerto Ricans that I know, all the Latinos that I know in New York and New Jersey, we're bosses. We're power. We're power movers and shakers. Mm-hmm. And we're the people that are owning businesses.
Right.
Not the Peterson who's like giving room service to people, right?
Right.
And so to see that the second biggest driver of the economy was the service industry, was tourism and leisure, right? And then to see that the entire economy of the island had been decimated
mm-hmm.
because people weren't going down there for tourism. Dude, there's no lights. I live there now. There's lights. But even today, I go to friends and they're like, oh, hang on, you're in Puerto Rico. Is there power? I said, pal, what's going on? Is there internet? Like, no, there's internet. So there's even still a stigma where people are not going there for tourism.
Right.
They're not going there on vacation. They may not do their honeymoon there, mm-hmm. right? Because they have this stigma and they're scared because they think the lights are going to go out again.
Right.
And that really hurt the economy. A lot of people lost their jobs because they're relying on the local economy. To make matters worse, now that I've been living there for about 6 months now, there's college-educated people there who are not earning the salaries that they deserve because they're relying on the local economy and they're not playing on the global economy. I met a woman. So we just did a 10-day event called the Disrupt Week. It's an entire week of events around entrepreneurship and technology. We had a woman who took a week off of work, and she came and she told us that she makes $20,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and she has a master's degree in advertising.
Oh, wow.
Per capita, Puerto Rico has the most college-educated people of anywhere else in the United States. The most educated people. But unfortunately, the economy is very localized.
Right.
It only really has two or three main drivers of it. And the people that are there, they're not thinking in a global mindset. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I told her, hey, listen, making $20,000 a year, you could get a remote job, go on AngelList. And she was like, what's AngelList? And I was like, go on Upwork. And she's like, what's Upwork, right? But she could get a job working for a company in New York City, make $50,000 a year. The company in New York City would be happy to pay her $50,000 a year with a master's degree in advertising and marketing, right? And she'd be able to work remotely. She doesn't even have to move. You don't have to move to New York, right? There's tons of remote jobs. So forget like becoming an entrepreneur or starting a business or setting up an eBay store, just get a remote job and you'd be in a better position, right?
Right.
But so backtrack, we're still in the diner. We're coming up with this concept. And I'm like, dude, we have to teach coding. We have to teach marketing. We have to teach digital skills. We have to teach people that all they need is Wi-Fi and a dream to be successful. That's how I live my life. When we went down there to do humanitarian work, the first question I asked is there Wi-Fi? I didn't even ask if there was water, if there was electricity. Is there Wi-Fi? Because if there's Wi-Fi, I can figure out how to get some water, hopefully, right? I can figure out how to get some electricity, solar energy. But mm-hmm. if there's no Wi-Fi, I can't make any money,
right?
Right.
Right.
So we're coming up with all these ideas. And then he says, okay, these are nice ideas. When are you coming? And I really thank him for holding me to account. because mm-hmm. there's so many people in this world that they just say, hey, somebody should do something about that. Hey, it'd be great if someone, what about the governor? What about the mayor? And the fact that he held me to account, I'm really, really grateful. So a week later, I booked a one-way plane ticket.
One-way plane ticket. Pointed out. Okay. One-way plane ticket. That's a mindset right there.
Yeah. Right? Oh, for sure. I'm not going to leave until the job is done, right? And then up until the day that I left, I convinced another friend or family member or stranger to come with me. So we ended up going down there with 5 or 10 people. Some people flew in. Some people had to go back for work. New people flew in. Mm-hmm. We created a mini documentary about what we were doing and put it online. And people saw that and more people wanted to come in.
Wow.
And it was really cool. I mean, I met like one girl that volunteered. I met her for the first time ever in Puerto Rico when she arrived to help. My videographer who now became our creative director here at Disrupt, I met him an hour before the plane ride. Mm. Literally sent me a DM on Instagram. Hey, I'm a videographer, I'm a photographer. Do you need anything? I'm leaving to Puerto Rico in 2 days. So I reply back and I'm not like, hey, how you doing? I said, will you go to Puerto Rico in 2 days? Talked to him once over the phone. I said, are you serious? Because if you are, I'm in front of the computer right now. I'm going to buy your plane ticket. What's your date of birth? And booked my plane ticket. 24 hours later, I met him for the first time in person. And an hour later, we were on a plane going to Puerto Rico. And I'm super, super grateful to him. You know, we stayed in a place where we had power maybe 12 hours out of the day. The other 12 hours, we wouldn't have power. Mm-hmm. Barely had water. The water would drip out. But the thing that I realized was, besides all the infrastructure problems and you know, those atrocities, the biggest problem was economic, right? Mm-hmm. The people who had money had power.
Right.
The people who had money, they had influence. Mm-hmm. They were able to leave the island if they needed to leave. They were able to buy a new roof if their roof was messed up. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the people who were living in homes that were created properly were fine. Mm-hmm. Most homes did not get damaged. The homes that got damaged were the homes of the poor people whose homes were not structurally sound.
Right.
And you live in an island, so it's not like in New York where you have to keep out the cold. So there's a lot of people who have homes that they have like a roof that could literally get blown off in a hurricane. Mm-hmm. So
right.
The wind comes and messes them up. The people who are middle class, like my family, even in Arecibo, they live kind of in the country, but their house is made out of concrete.
Okay, so that's just...
So their house is fine. It was the people who were in lower economic standards mm-hmm. that were not able to help. Now, me, I come in, I'm Mr. America with my American Express card. I can buy all the fucking water I want.
Right.
Right? I can buy a new roof if I need it. You know what I mean? So the problems were economic, not only infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So we started Disrupt, and we started this mission to create a digital economy for the 3.5 million people that live in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And we feel that technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship can build a new economy, build a new market for the people that live in Puerto Rico.
That's amazing. You know what? I mean, the level of passion and intensity you talk about it with, I'm sure somebody out there that when they're watching this video, they're wondering, I'm looking to make a change. I'm looking to make an impact. Where do I start? Number one, where do I start if possible? How do I start? Right? And then third, what kind of mindset am I going to have? Like you just said, one-way ticket kind of mentality, Wi-Fi and dream mentality. What else can they adopt to be able to pursue whatever passions they have?
Well, I love that you brought that up. I had so many people when I went out there, before I went out there, after that, their first reaction was for me to ask permission from someone.
Mm, okay.
It's like, hey, you should ask the governor. You should ask the mayor. You should ask the congressman. You should ask Trump. You should da 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 da. And the thing is, we were just a bunch of regular dudes. We're not a nonprofit.
Right.
We gave away 300 solar panel lights all throughout the island of Puerto Rico, food and water and supplies, right? And we weren't some big company or some big nonprofit. We were a bunch of crazy New Yorkans that like bought our own plane tickets and went out there. And the thing that I think people don't realize, and especially in the Latino community, is how powerful we really are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like Gandhi, it's one dude who took the responsibility of the 3 billion people who live in India.
Right.
And he said, all 3 billion people that are in India, they're my responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's my problem. I take responsibility for them. So when I looked at Puerto Rico and I was like, it's only 3 million. If God needs to do 3 billion, I could do this little 3 million. It's a little island. It's so small, right? But no, seriously, like Gandhi was one dude. He's one human being.
Yeah.
We have 99% the same DNA as every other human being.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 99% of the DNA of Gandhi, of Martin Luther King, of Malcolm X, of all of these people that you look up to. You're no different than them. And all it takes is the decision, right? I decided I was going to Puerto Rico. I didn't know what the – I haven't been to Puerto Rico since I was a kid. I went once or twice as a tourist. I used to go every year as a kid. Then my grandfather passed away when I was a teenager. I stopped going, and I did not know that island when I got there.
Mm.
And all I knew was the tour. I knew the one hotel that I had stayed at on my birthday. Like, that was it. And we went out there. Not only did we not stay in San Juan, we stayed in Luquillo. We stayed like 45 minutes from the capital, right? And it was funny because we get there, and like I said, I brought a couple of guys with me, and they're like, okay, what do we do now? And I was like, we're out here. And then I just kept saying, we're out here, we out here, we out here, we out here. And now that's like our tagline at the show, is we're out here, because it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I didn't have a plan. I had a couple of small plans in my head. I didn't have an exact plan,
right,
but I made the decision. And I think that's where a lot of people get paralyzed too.
Uh-huh.
They think, okay, before I can decide that I want to do this, I need to know how to do it. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. You need to decide. I'm going to buy a house. I have decided I'm going to buy a house. I don't need to know all the mortgage laws. I don't need to know who my realtor is going to be. I don't need to know any of those things to decide I'm going to buy a house. I decided I'm going to buy a house. Now I need to figure it out. And it's the same thing with all of your goals in life. I decided I'm going to go to college. I don't need to know what my major is. I decided that I'm going to start my own business. I don't need to know all the bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I did find out all the steps and write them down, they're going to change, right? And that's not to say don't write things down. It's not to say don't plan. But before you plan, you need to make the decision. Because if you don't make the decision, you try to make a plan, your plan's not going to be strong because you're not going to have the passion, right?
Mm-hmm.
I decided I was going to go to Puerto Rico and I didn't know why. And people were asking me, why are you going to go? How are you going to go? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do X? Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. A girl actually asked me, she was like, oh, if you could work for a company, like what company would you be? What's like your top three companies that like you would want to work for?
Okay.
And I told her there's this really cool company in Puerto Rico, is called Disrupt. And there's not another two answers, and I walked away, right? Because that's how laser focused I am, right? Because I've decided this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
So many people, they're one foot in and one foot out. And it really, all it takes is a mindset shift and saying, I'm going to be the change that I want to see in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I know that I'm going to be that change is because I'm really in tune with the fact that I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to be dust.
Right.
We have a time clock. 100 mm-hmm. years. 100 years. I used 30 of them already. So that means I got 60, maybe 70 more to go.
Right, they're ticking down right now.
Yeah, they're ticking down right now.
Right.
So how am I going to spend my time? Am I going to spend it playing Xbox, playing Fortnite? Or am I going to spend it making an impact on the world for my future generations?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandfather's legacy was bringing me to that island. He doesn't even know it. He's in dust right now. Mm-hmm. He has no idea what he did. But he took it upon himself to say, you know what? My grandkids are going to know this freaking island. When they hear the Coqui, they're going to remember their childhood.
Right.
And he came to New York every year until he died and picked us up and took us there for the summer.
Amazing.
You know? So the same way how that's his legacy, I have to figure out what legacy I'm going to build for my future generations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So legacy-minded, not waiting for permission from somebody to do something, and making the decision to take action. Those are the things that I'm getting right now from you in a very easy format right there to follow, but it's not so easy to do, right? Everybody tends to take the step forward, get nervous, not sure, how do I do it?
It's so easy. You just have to be laser focused.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about like manifesting things.
Right.
And I think it's a cool word, but I don't necessarily believe in it to that extent. I believe in putting things into the universe.
Okay.
So I put into the universe that we needed solar panels for Puerto Rico. I don't own a solar company, but I kept saying it. And then the person that did have a solar company contacted me and said, yo, I want to come and be a part of this.
Right.
And they donated all the solar panel lights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just did this big event in Puerto Rico. And I said, okay, on the last day, we're going to rent a yacht. And we're going to go to Culebra, which is an island off the side of Puerto Rico. And we're going to have an amazing time for all the speakers and all the people who donated their time to come to Puerto Rico. I didn't even know where you would rent a boat. I had no idea. And we had no money to rent a boat. Every single time that someone says the word Puerto Rico, one of the people in my circle, right? I'm the name that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have friends who are in Puerto Rico or they have a friend who's in Puerto Rico. And I'm the first person getting a phone call, getting a text and saying, hey, are you in Puerto Rico? You need to connect with Anthony. Oh, you're doing a real estate deal in Puerto Rico? You need to connect with Anthony. Oh, you're doing a solar deal in Puerto Rico? You need to connect with Anthony. So rather than manifesting things, I really just think it's putting things into the universe and having them come back to you.
Right, right. Wow, it's amazing. Well, Anthony, I tell you what, I know the island of Puerto Rico for sure is grateful to have a person like you that's come in, that's fulfilling their mission, right? Taking action on things. You took responsibility for your people, and here we are now. What's the next step for Disrupt? That's my one question for you.
So what's next for us is we're going to be launching a university. So
okay.
Disrupt University.
Okay.
And our goal is not to replace traditional education, but
mm-hmm.
more to augment it.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So to provide additional workshops, additional classes. You know, traditional education, not only in Puerto Rico, in the entire world, it's stagnated. It doesn't adapt as quickly as technology does. So we feel that by augmenting the traditional education system, creating workshops and courses, both online and in person,
mm-hmm.
We can prepare our future generation for the new digital workforce.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'll tell you, this was a wealth, no pun intended, a wealth of information we just gave into us. I know the listeners and the people who are going to watch this video are going to be heavily excited. But not just because of what they've heard, but the level of belief now they can have in themselves to be able to push forward and the dreams they want to accomplish. So, man, I thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
It has been a pleasure, brother.
I appreciate it.
Puerto Rico. Gracias a la gente de Puerto Rico. Para él y la gente de Puerto Rico que está oyendo, este es el hombre que le va a ayudar a cambiar todas las cosas en su vida. So to everybody, be able to follow this podcast, Latino Wealth Movement, @Latino_Wealth Movement on Instagram. But we are on a New Theory podcast network at newtheory.com. You can follow us there on iTunes and SoundCloud. Make sure you hear this podcast. Go back to it. Repeat it. Take notes. Because believe me, he just dropped a bunch of diamonds in it. Thank you so much again, Anthony, for your time. Thanks for everybody watching this video. Look forward to seeing you in the next show.